Solidarity Breakfast here on 3CR, and we've got Ian Ringdahl from the Refugee Action Coalition on the line. G'day, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, good, Annie. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, there's very sad news coming out of the Villawood Detention Centre on the 29th of January. It was a Sunday. Can you sort of give my listeners some understanding of what happened?
Yeah, well, look, you know, tragically, but not surprisingly, there was yet another, you know, suicide in the Villawood, you know, detention centre, and, you know, Jaffa, who's an Iraqi refugee, was found hanging in his room, you know, on the, you know, on the 29th of January, just after being, he's been in detention a while from 2018, is most recently in Villawood from 2018 to, you know, 2022, but tragically, detention has taken yet another life.
And he's a young man too, 30s. Tell me, the background, although it's still sketchy, is that he was requesting to be moved from the place because there were some issues amongst detainees.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I mean, this is something which is, you know, increasingly a feature of the, you know, detention centres. It has been, you know, a long time, and there's been issues about, you know, the, you know, 501s, people who come, you know, into jail. Into detention from, you know, from jail. Anyway, it's not surprising that these tensions happen from, you know, from time to time. And there are issues inside the detention centre like there are inside, you know, prisons. But, you know, Jaffa had been requesting to be moved. There had been tensions, you know, that, you know, had emerged over the last few weeks, had made numerous requests, you know, to be moved, as we, you know frequently happens, but nothing had been done. And in fact, I think there's sort of an unspoken policy, really, that the detention management actually doesn't mind those tensions. It, you know, keeps people, you know, distracted, you know, divided, and you know, they for any, for whatever reason, they didn't move Jaffa. There was another fight on that Saturday, and then sometime after 10 o'clock on the Saturday night, he's taken his life.
So, I mean, this is actually reminiscent of what happened in Dame Phyllis Frost jail with death in custody, where people were calling for help, but they were ignored because it's actually part of a systemic approach to inmate management.
I think that's right. I mean, there's an obvious issue. Everyone's aware of it. I mean, the detention centres are small places. The guards are all over the place. People know when there's, you know, when there's tensions, and in any case, when there's a request, you know, from time to time, to be moved, the sensible thing is to move them.
Yeah. And it's got a very chilling feeling that people are throwaway people, right?
Well, they're fodder. They're really for, you know, for Serco. It's fodder which keeps them making millions out of the detention regime. The government's got a completely contemptuous attitude to anyone who is in immigration detention. They're an underclass. They're less than human. So it doesn't really matter.
To explain to people what Section 501 is about, now this is a really interesting development in the detention centres, which was brought to the fore by the Morrison government.
Yeah. Section 501 has been a long-standing section of the Migration Act, and it gives the power for the government to actually cancel visas. Now, what's happened most recently, because of the Morrison government in 2014, they actually introduced a section of mandatory cancellation. So it meant that anybody who was sentenced for 12 months, so 12 months or more, their visas were automatically cancelled. Now, Section 501 is, in anyone's mind, is a completely discriminatory, you know, clause, because it can only be used against non-citizens. Anyone else does their time, you know, in prison. They come out. They can get on with their lives, and you know, as best they can. But Section 501 means that people who go into the prison system, don't come out. They come out into immigration, you know, detention in those circumstances, and sometimes, very often actually, do longer time in immigration detention than what they've done for any crime that they've been punished by the criminal justice system. What's worse is actually the section, one of the sections of the 501 clause, gives them, the minister, the power to cancel on character grounds. And so, you know, people who may not have even committed a crime, we've seen plenty of cases where people have been charged, but those charges have been dismissed or dropped, but nonetheless they remain in immigration detention because the minister insists that this person is of bad, you know, bad character, and therefore their visa remains cancelled. So it's an insidious section of the Migration Act, but that's what's happening.
But it also gathers up people who have been here all their lives.
Well, that's right, because they are non-citizens. So you've got people who have been here when they're brought here, when they're one or two or three, but because they've not been born here, then they're not non-citizens. We saw the famous case of, well, it's about 15, 16 years ago, where Liberal government deported a Serbian who came when he was two. He ended up homeless on the, you know, streets in Serbia, and in that instance, we were actually able to get him back. But that's exactly the situation that's created. I mean, only last week there was a similar case with a New Zealander who was sent back to New Zealand. Most people who come here as New Zealanders think they're permanent residents and they've got some right to stay, but actually it's a visa arrangement which allows them to come from New Zealand to Australia, and those visas can be cancelled. He was brought here when he was two, no family in New Zealand. He's now you know, back in New Zealand.
So at least people speak the same language, I suppose.
Yes. Well, yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it also indicates that there's an interesting mix of people who are in the detention centres.
Yes, there is an interesting mix, which creates its own issues. You know, people, you know, shoved into a situation where, unlike the jail system, they've got no idea when they are coming out. The capacity to actually get out of immigration detention is not like jail. It's an indefinite detention for many. It's a life sentence, potentially a life sentence, because people who, like Jaffa, is an Iraqi refugee. He can't be sent back to Iraq, but the laws at the moment allow the government to keep someone indefinitely in detention. So you can be a refugee, not be able to be sent back to your country, but have no right to live in Australia either. So you do find that people who actually, you know, relatively trivial crimes end up doing times that people associated with only the most, you know, serious, you know, criminal offences. So it's not just that you get an interesting, you know, collection, because increasingly the detention centres are the jails. People are coming out of the jails into the detention centres with less rights, less oversight, less governance, less activity, less hope for any possible, you know, secure future on the outside. They see their families fall apart on the outside. They fall apart, you know, inside. I think the reality is that the detention centres, there is no reason for immigration detention. There's no reason for section, you know, 501. It should be repealed. And the pathetic moves that the government has made this year with the slight changes in the 501, you know, regulations are minuscule and, you know, well, I don't want to say completely. Well, they're almost completely meaningless, actually. You know, we've gone from, you know, consideration of family connections with Australia being a secondary consideration to a primary consideration. You know, that's it. Let's hope that the people who are overseeing the regulation will, you know, see it something more, you know, substantial. But on the, you know, on paper, you know, it doesn't look like much shift at all.
Yeah, but you'd be depriving Serco of millions of dollars.
Yes, that's right. We'd be depriving Serco millions of dollars. We'd be saving the taxpayer millions of dollars on the other hand. But I think more to the point, we'd be actually taking a step to recognise the human rights of people who said it, even in normal Westminster criminal justice system, people think about, like, you do the crime, you do the time. That's not how it works for, you know, non-citizens. So it's a racist and discriminatory section of the, you know, the Migration Act. So it's a scar, really, which, you know, runs, you know, across the criminal justice system and across the immigration system. It's a scar that really runs across the whole of Australian society, because, like, the attitude to, you know, to boat arrivals, you know, the people who come here seeking asylum, Section 501 is really a reflection of the same thing. You know, people who are non-citizens can be treated as less than human. So it's not just a question of refugee rights. I think it's a fundamental recognition of human rights, that there should not be a discriminatory section which allows you know, the Migration Act or the immigration system to treat people as less rights than citizens.
Just to finish up, and on a very sobering note, what happens for Jaffa? Does he get buried in the soil here, or does he go back to his homeland in a box?
Look, in Jaffa's case, there is family in Australia, and he'll be buried. Yeah, in Australia, in very difficult circumstances, people are going to have to, you know, kind of raise the money, and sometimes it's very hard to get that out of the Australian government. Even harder when it requires the repatriation, of someone's body. Jaffa will be buried in Sydney.
So, Ian, what can people do if they wish to be part of a positive change?
Well, you know, I'm from the Refugee Action Coalition. There's a Refugee Action Collective in Melbourne. I know they organising things, about 501s, about the ongoing detention of people in the, you know, Park Hotel. And in particular, I think we're all building for Palm Sunday this year. So it'll be the 2nd of April. And there'll be a demonstration in Melbourne, like there will be in many other cities, across Australia. That's certainly going to be one opportunity for people to, you know, hit the streets with other refugee supporters to say, we need to get rid of detention, we need to get rid of, you know, Section 501. But get in touch with the Refugee Action, you know, Collective in Melbourne. They have weekly meetings on Monday nights, and they'd be very, very happy to see people. There. It's made a big difference over the years in terms of fighting back and pushing back the government's inhumane policies. Sometimes we see a lot more to do than what we've gained, but without those voices in the streets and providing some ways that the voices who are inside the detention centres actually can talk to the media and explain the circumstances of their situation. It's beginning of that awareness. So see the Refugee Action Collective. We'll see everyone on Sunday the 2nd of April.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for talking to us.
Okay. Thanks very much, Annie.
And if that interview has actually raised some disturbing issues for you, you can call Lifeline 13 11 14, Suicide Help for First Nations People 13 92 71. You're on Solidarity Breakfast with Annie, and we've just been speaking to Ian Runtoll from the Refugee Action Coalition. Yeah.